Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The John Warboys story, I'm delighted to say, goes on and on. This is, of course, the black cab rapist who, it is believed, could be free within around 7 days. Obviously, details are not made public. The Daily Telegraph moves the story on today. The release of Warboys was secured with the help of a psychologist who believes sex offenders are too often labelled monstrous individuals who cannot be treated. Dr. Jackie Chrysati's expert report into Warboys helped persuade the parole board to let the rapist out of jail after serving the minimum 8-year term. He was hired by Warboys' legal team. Interesting. To show he did not present a risk of serious harm to the public. Now, Dr. Chrysati is also an official paid advisor to the parole board and sits on its review committee, which examines cases where former prisoners have committed serious further offences within 3 years of release. The doctor's report into Warboys, convicted in 2009 of one rape and 5 sexual assaults and further offences of drugging women, but is thought to be among Britain's most prolific sex offenders, was presented to the parole board in December. It is unknown whether she also gave evidence in person at the hearing in Wakefield Jail. Dr. Chrysati is due to give a university lecture later this month entitled 10 Myths About Sex Offenders, where she will argue that an objective understanding of the nature of sexual offending can better enable society to protect itself from future victimisation. Oh, I see. So it's because we don't understand the sex offenders, is it, that we might be victims? So nothing to do with the fact that these people can't keep themselves in check? Juliet Grayson chairs Stopso, is a psychotherapist and works with these sort of offenders. What is Stopso in a sentence or two? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Stopso is the specialist treatment organisation for the prevention of sexual offending.
I see.
And what we do is we have about 200 therapists across the UK who are specially trained. They're already qualified therapists.
You all right?
And they're specially trained to work with people before they've committed an offence.
Right.
Or very early on in their journey. So most of our clients are not at the stage of Warboys, but have come to us very early on.
Presumably you either know or you are aware of Dr. Chrysati?
I don't know her, and I'm not really aware of
her. From what I briefly summarised her views, how would you respond?
It's a case I know nothing about, and I can't comment on the Warboys case. What I can tell you is that 72% of people... of sex offenders, when asked, knew that they had a problem by the time they were 25 years old, and 51% of them know by the time they're 16. Now, what I would say is we need to be helping these children to not turn into people...
Just give me those percentages again. I should have written them down. I apologise. Could I ask you to run through them one more time?
It's 51% know by the time that they're 16. We did a survey saying, at what age did you first know you had a problem with your sexual behaviour or thinking?
Right. 51% 16, yep.
And 72% by the time they're 25.
Right. Well, they're not children, then, are they?
11% said they knew by the time they were 10 years old.
11% by 10, did you?
Okay. Yeah.
And how were you defining it, though? Because at the age of... how would they be exhibiting that at that sort of age?
Well, basically, this was an online anonymous questionnaire that we gave to all the sex offenders that we work with.
Right.
And we just had this one question in there. At what age did you first know you had a problem with your sexual thinking or behaviour?
Right.
But what it means is that we need to be looking out for cries for help. I was talking to a psychiatrist yesterday who said, I'm sure I've had people who came to me who were suicidal, but I never asked them whether what their sexual orientation was or what their sexual problems might have been.
Right.
And if I had asked, I might have uncovered this information and we could have stepped in and helped them with that and given them tools and techniques and...
What tools or techniques do you give a putative rapist to deal with, most likely he, but it could be a she, his issues?
Well, you know, it really depends. Often there's a trauma in their own history and you need to work with them on the trauma that they have from when they were children.
Right.
And when you heal and correct and cure that, that often reduces the desire to act out. It may be, if you're dealing with someone who has a sexual orientation towards children, that you're going to have to give them techniques to avoid being around children. And, I mean, that sounds pretty impossible, but I know many non-offending paedophiles who have no desire to act out, but who do have a sexual attraction to children. And they choose to manage it because they know that what they could do would be utterly horrendous.
So,
but they make a choice to manage it.
When Dr. Crosetti, who's giving a lecture entitled 10 Myths About Sex Offenders, says, and I'm quoting, an objective understanding of the nature of sexual offending can better enable society to protect itself from future victimisation. Is she saying we need to know them better, otherwise we make ourselves into the victims? Surely the sex offenders should have some responsibility for their behaviour.
I think what it is that we need to... Society has a tendency to clump together someone who has an attraction to children and assume that they will become a child molester. You know, if you're a heterosexual man and you have an attraction to women walking down the street, it doesn't mean you're going to rape all of them. Or
it doesn't
have
mean to rape any of them, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and it's the same with someone who has a sexual attraction to children. So these issues are much more complex than most people take the time to find out about. And so most people find themselves revolted and repulsed, which is, of course, you know, everybody's natural reaction. But when we look into it deeper and we see that maybe there's trauma in their own history, and we work with that and we heal that and we help them not to go on and act out. I was talking of a week ago to a man who I worked with about 6 years ago, who was a voyeur and an exhibitionist, and he'd been out of touch. And I said, I worried that you'd been out of touch because you'd gone back to prison. And he laughed and said, I don't have any of those thoughts anymore. I don't act out in any way anymore. That has completely and utterly stopped.
Lastly, how do we know how he's achieved that?
He had 6 months of therapy. We worked on his childhood issues. For him, there was a lot of repetition compulsion going on.
Sorry, I don't... What's a repetition compulsion?
He used to come home from school and find his parents making love in the living room.
Oh.
And they didn't stop, and he learned to watch.
Oh, geez.
And later, when he grew up, he was a voyeur, and he... When he came to me, he'd never made that connection. And when we met the offender help, or www.stopso.org.uk, and we have therapists close to you who are willing to talk to you, will hold their judgment in check, will work with you to try and heal and help you become a pro-social member of society rather than an anti-social member of society.
How on earth you keep your... in check if you're dealing with a multiple paedophile, I don't know. But Juliet Grayson, thank you. You chair STOPSO, Specialist Treatment Organisation for the Prevention of Sexual Offending. You are